Begin the current daf, Masechta Saita daf Lamed. Begin 5 lines down for the Patab of the Yavid. But the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, which was mentioned in our Mishnah, that Boi B'Yom Dorish or B'Kiva. B'Kiva had expounded that there is a halacha that even a shlishi, a chulin, something unconsecrated, like Maisa Sheni, could become a shlishi l'tumah, and he learned it off about Pasuk. Now, on that, Rabbi Shua commented, and he said, Rabbi Yechanan, who's going to uncover the dust from your eyes that you had said that the later generations are not only they're not going to say that there's a shlishi by chulin, but they're even going to say that there's going to be a shlishi for truma is going to be tar. There's not going to be a shlishi even for truma. Now, on that is what he said. Not only that, they're not going to say that it's tar, but here comes your student and says that it's even going to be tame, even as a chulin for a shlishi, and he actually brings a source from a pasuk. Now, so therefore, that's the discussion regarding do we say that a sheni makes a shlishi of a chulin? So that the Gemara says that Amar Vasi Amar Rav, some say it's Amar Rabba Ben Isi Amar Rav, that Reb Meir, Reb Yesi, Reb Yeshua, Reb Elazar, Reb Eliezer, these 5 Tanayim, Kulu Svir Luhu De Ein Sheni Isi Shlishi B'Chulin. They all hold that a second level Tumma cannot create a Shlishi B'Chulin. In other words, as Reb Yechanan had assumed, Reb Yechanan had said from a Kavu Chaymer that a Shlishi, that a Truma could become a Shlishi, and he said, but the later generations are going to refute that Kal B'Chaima, which he disagreed with. But his student, Rabbi Kiva, said that actually a Sheni could even make a Chulin into a Shlishi. These 5 Tanoim disagree with that, and they hold that the Sheni does not create a Shlishi of Chul. As the Gemara illustrates, Reb Meir did not. Reb Meir is as it, we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Parah. The Mishnah says, Kol HaToin Bius Mayim in Divrei Sefer. Anything that requires immersion in the water, meaning in the mikvah, for rabbinical requirements, meaning that biblically it's actually pure. But the Chachamim mandated that it be immersed in water to be purified. For example, let's say someone that his head and the majority of his body came in contact with mayim shuvim, with drawn water. Or if someone eats half of a pras, meaning a quarter of a loaf of bread of impure foods that are tamei, or regular generic hands, where the rabbis, and there's many different things that were required to have immersion in the mikvah, the rabbanon considered them as a sheni letumah. So these things that are rabbinically required to be immersed in the mikvah, they're mitame es ha-kodesh. They make kodesh, things that are kachem, like a carbon, into a shlishi, meaning anytime you say something is tame, not possible, it means to say that it could then become tame and then transmit tumah to something else, meaning it becomes a shlishi to make something else into a revi. As we're saying, because all these things that rabbinically require tefillah are themselves a sheni, like yadayim, that require to be immersed in water, that is a sheni, those hands, and it touches the carbon and makes it a shlishi, which it's metamet, meaning it can make another kachim into a revi. Upaisel esa truma, and it makes truma pasla, meaning into a shlishi. Umutre b'chul nubemaisa de remeir. And, however, the hands are permitted, they don't make a problem for chulin and maiser, again, because obviously, we see that Reb Meir holds that the limitation of chulin is up until a sheni does not make a shlishi of chulin. It can make truma into a shlishi, therefore it becomes possible, and it can make revi even into a kodesh. That's why the sheni would make it tame, meaning that it becomes a shlishi to make something else into revi. But the chulin and mice themselves do not become prohibited based on their contact with these things that are rabbinically required with tefillah, meaning that the sheni it doesn't become a shlishi. But v'chachamim oisim emaiser. Or where the Mishnah Masechtas Parah says that the Chachamim say, not like Reb Meir, that it is forbidden in Meiser. But as Rashi explains, what the Chachamim say, it's forbidden with Meiser, meaning to eat. These things that are a sheni are forbidden to consume Meiser, but they're permitted to touch Meiser. And regarding Chulin, they even allow to eat, as the Gemara explains in Masechtas Chagiga Yud Chesem and Beis. Now, therefore, Rashi explains, truth is, the Rabbanan over there in that Mishnah Masechtas Parah agree to the premise of Reb Meir that we're discussing with these 5 Tanoim, that a sheni does not make a shlisha by chulin. Now, the reason why they weren't counted amongst the 5 Tanoim that were as a 6th opinion that sheni does not become shlisha is because it doesn't say who their name is. But yes, like the as Rashi explains, the Mishnah Masechtas Parah that we're saying hold that a sheni does not make a shlisha by chulin would include Reb Meir and those who dispute him over there regarding the consumption, regarding the consumption of meiser, although that they hold that a sheni, this person, let's say, as Yadayim Tameiwas, or as Boim B'Maim Shuvim, can't consume Meiser, but he's allowed to touch Ma'isa and even eat chulin because, again, him as a Shein, he cannot make a Shlishi of chul. That's the first opinion. And Rabbi Yasi, that he holds that a Shein does not make a Shlishi bechulin, is Hada Amaran. He's the Rabbi Yasi would quote on the previous daf that was quoted as the source for the halacha that a Shlishi can make a Revi b'Kodesh. Something that's a Shlishi, which is unique for Truma. Chulin, again, as we see, is limited to Shein. But from a Kavach Chaimah, we learned that a Shlishi, a Truma could become a Shlishi. And from a Kavach Chaimah, a different Kavach Chaimah, which is a Kavach Chaimah, Rabbi Yasi taught us from Mechus HaKippurim, we learned that a Kachim could even become a Revi. Now, how do we know that he holds that Chulin cannot become a Shlishi? Because, as the Gemara explains, the Im Isa, if Rabbi Yasi would hold that a Chulin could become a Shlishi biblically, then Laisei L'Revi B'Truma, then actually, as we learned in the previous daf, all the Kavachimers, and it discounted with this concept of Dayoi, it took everything the next step, because or else we don't need a Kavachimer, as we explained in the previous daf. So if Chulin could become a Shlishi, then the Kavachimer should tell us that Truma could become a Revi. Again, as we said from a Kavachimer of Tful Yoyim, whereas we learned that we held, as seemingly that's the source, that Chulin could only be a Sheni, so we said that, oh, so then Kavachimer, that Shlishi, that Truma should become a Shlishi from Tful Yoyim. Again, where Tful Yoyim is permitted in something, and what we were talking about for a Shlishi is prohibited in something. So if it's there, it's going to create a problem for Truma. Here, a Sheni B'Shor should create a problem for a Shlishi. And so too, we said the same thing. So therefore, Truma should be able to be a Revi. Again, if we're saying now that Shlishi, that Chulin is a Shlishi, so then you take it one step further. Again, that's the concept that we're saying from Tful Yoyim to a Shlishi. Now it should make to Revi. And the Chamisha B'Kodesh, the same thing goes the next step, which was the Halacha of Rabbi Yasi, that we should learn out from Revi of Truma, which was from the Kavachem of Mechus HaKippurim. Whereas we learned that if it's making it, as we learned from Mechus HaKippurim, where it's permitted in Truma, even though it didn't bring its karbanos yet, but it's forbidden in Kachim. So we said that, oh, then a Shlishi by Truma, oh, for sure that is going to make a Revi by Kodesh. But if we're saying now that it's actually more than that, is that we find Revi by Truma, well, then they should take it the next step further, which would be a Chamisha by Kodesh. And since he doesn't say that, he says only that Kachim becomes a Revi, which is based on the previous Kavachema of that Shlishi becomes a Truma. Obviously, it's because Chulin is one step before that, which is only a Sheni, it doesn't become a Shlishi. That's the second time. Rabbi Shua does not, the source that Rabbi Shua learns that a Sheni does not create a Shlishi of Chulin is, as we learn in the Mishnah Masechet Tiras. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he says, Ha'oichel, if someone eats a quarter of a loaf of bread, half of a pras is a half a loaf of bread. A loaf of bread is generally two meals worth of bread. Half of that is a pras. Half of that is a quarter of the loaf. Now, if someone eats that amount of oichel rishon, of a food item that's a rishon l'tumah, so the person who's eating that rishon l'tumah, his body becomes a rishon. His body itself becomes a rishon l'tumah, and that's a rabbinic halacha. So too, if someone eats a food item that's a sheni l'tumah, so his body becomes a sheni l'tumah. Shlishi, if he eats a shlish l'tumah, so shlishi, his body becomes a shlish l'tumah. Now the Gemara Masechet Tzchulin explains the reasoning in this on Daf Lamed Aleph, Aleph, that the Chachamim made the one who eats the food as stringent as the food itself that he's eating. So he gets the same, although generally you get, during transmission, it goes down a level of tumah. But regarding this halacha, they said that the person himself gets the same tumah as what he's eating. Bishuaim, he says, no, ha'oichel oichel rishon ve'oichel sheni. No matter if you're eating a oichel rishon, rishon l'tuma of food, or a shen l'tuma of food, the person who eats it becomes a shen l'tuma. And that is the rishon of the food item. They didn't make the one who eats it as a rishon, rather like a sheni. And the reason being is because the one who's eating it is not as stringent in tuma as the food that he's eating. But in spite of that, someone that eats a shein l'tuma of food, he does become a shein. And there the Gemara explains the reasoning being is because we do find such a precedent in halacha that a sheini can make something else into a sheini too. Meaning, although Rabbi Shua agrees that it has to go down a level, and that's why if you eat a rishon, you become a sheini, whereas it is during old transmissions of tuma. But there are cases that a sheini could make another sheini. It doesn't go down. And that's specifically in the case of beverages, because in the halacha of beverages, they become like a rishon. So if let's say a sheni touches a mashka, which becomes a rishon, then the next thing it touches becomes a sheni. So there is possibilities of a sheni making something else into a sheni. So therefore, whoever eats the rishon or even a sheni becomes a sheni. Shlishi, if someone eats a shlishi l'tumma, so then his body becomes a sheni b'kodesh, meaning if he now goes ahead and touches something of kachim, he makes it tameh, meaning to say that the kachim becomes the shlishi, to make something else puzzle, meaning into a revi. But, says Rabbi Shua, if it ain't sheni b'tshuma, but he doesn't, he's not considered as a sheni in the context of lachas of tshuma, and there the Gemara explains the reasoning for that. Now again, all these tumas that we're discussing are rabbinic halachas. Now, however, Rabbi Shua qualifies this halacha that he's saying, which is unique, that even if he's eating a shlishi, he actually becomes as a sheni in regards to halachas of kachim. So he explains and he qualifies that what type of a chulin am I talking about, where if you eat a shlishi of tuma of this chulin, that he becomes like a sheni in regards to kachim, meaning to now later on, if he touches kachim, he is considered as a sheni to make that kachim into shlishi, to make the next thing he touches of kachim into revi. That's only b'chulin shenasu ataris truma. If he touched chulin of shlishi, which was made in the level of sanctity as truma is itself, meaning the owners of that chulin, chulin is unconsecrated produce, but the owner is a kohen, and he's accustomed to eating truma because he's a kohen. Now he accepted upon himself to the stringency of consuming his chulin in the level of tahara, purity that's required for truma. The reason why he did this is very simply because he wants to make sure that he's always tar when he's eating his truma, which is required for it. So therefore he said, okay, well, all my foods I'm going to eat with that level of tahara. So therefore, since the person created that element of stringency for his chulin, you can find, although generally, as that's what we're coming to illustrate, that by chulin you can't have a shlishi, but here in this case you'll have a shlishi of chulin, in the case of when you took upon yourself that even your chulin should have the sanctity of truma, which truma could become a shlishi. Now, so that's what the Gemara's proof is. Altaras truma in, what you see from Rabbi Shua's own qualification is that, oh, how did this person come in contact with a chulin of shlishi to then, as Rabbi Shua's explanation of the stringency, that he then becomes a sheni in regards to kachim? That's only if the chulin had the tara that he took upon himself of truma. But altaras akoydish loy. But if he accepted upon himself that he wants his chulin to be like the level of tara of kachim, then it's just like considered like regular chulin. And the reason being is because regular people maybe treat their chulin like truma. Because if you're kohen, you want to eat all your stuff at the level of tara that you need for truma. But kachim, no one's eating all day kachim. And therefore, even if he accepts upon himself to eat his chulin like kachim, it's what's called butla daite. We don't consider his acceptance as a valid stringency. And it's like he didn't say anything. And therefore, it's like regular chulin. So if it's regular chulin, it couldn't be a case of touching a shlishi of chulin. So that says the Gemara, al makasava ain't sheni, a shlishi of chulin. Obviously, we see Rabbi Shua holds the third time that we mentioned that a sheni cannot make a shlishi of chulin, because if it was, it wouldn't have to be altaris hatruma. Could have been even altaris hakodesh or regular chulin, and it would have been a shlishi of chulin. Obviously, he holds that you can't make a sheni of shlishi of chulin, and the only way that it was able to have a case of chulin of shlishi was because you accepted upon yourself a tara of truma. Rabbi Lazar d'Tanya. Rabbi Lazar, that we said the fourth opinion that holds that sheni doesn't make a shlishi b'chulin, is a blunt nabraisa. Rabbi Lazar Aymer, he says, shloshed on the following three things that we're going to be mentioning, meaning a rishon of chulin, or a rishon of tumah of truma, and let's say it touched sheretz, which is avatama. So whatever, if it touched, whether it be a chulin, which now became a rishon, or a truma of rishon, or a kaidish of rishon, shavin, they're all the same. How so? Harishon shebe kaidish shebe chulin shebe truma. If you have, whether it be a chulin thing or a kaidish thing or a truma thing, that's a rishon l'tumah, they're all the same in that mitamish naim apaisa lecha be kaidish. They make two things tame and then another one puzzle in the context of kachim, meaning to say that it could extend all the way to a revi. So if you have a rishon, it makes two things tame. Again, tame means to say that it itself is tame and then it could transmit to other things. So there's two things, sheni then shlishi, which could then extend further. And the last one is only possible, meaning a revi, because it doesn't extend further to chamishi. And so too, mitame echad upaisal echad b'truma, whether again is if it's chulin or truma or kachim, they both will transmit tuma and invalidate one in the context of Truma, meaning that to say it goes until a Shlishi. So that means it's a Tama one, meaning the Rishon will go to a Sheni and then to a Shlishi and end. And the place Lecha B'chulin, and will only this Rishon make that of Chulin only Pasul and not Tame, which means to say, because it only goes up until a Sheni, so it doesn't even make it Tame, meaning it makes a Pasul because it doesn't extend past a Sheni. Now, the Tana that argues on Rabbi Elazar in that Braisa, he holds that actually a Rishon of Chulin actually can't extend up until a Revi, even by Kachim. And the reason being is because the Kachim that could extend up until a Revi is only if the Rishon was that of Kachim. If the first thing that became Tame, let's say from the Ab, that became a Rishon was Kachim, then that Kachim could go to another Kachim, and go all the way till a Revi, but if it's Chulin, not. But one thing that we see from this is that Rabbi Elazar held that you cannot create a Shlishi by Chulin. And finally, the fifth opinion, the fifth Tana, Rabbi Eliezer, is the Tana, like, Mishnah Masechta Schal. Now, the beginning of that Mishnah is actually from the Mishnah before that, in the second Perek of Masechta Schal, which says as follows. The measurement of Challah, which is one of the Chavdal Matnas Kohuna, the 24 Kohanic gifts that the Kohanim get, one of them is that when a person is making a certain amount of dough, you have to take off a certain amount, which is called Challah, and that's given to the Kohen. So the measurement is 1/24 of the dough has to go to the Kohen. Now, however, if the dough became tame, whether by mistake or whether a person was coerced, it's only going to be 1/48 of the dough. And the reason being is because either way it's going to be burnt. Now, however, if it was deliberately made tame, so then the Tanakhama there says that you then still have to give the larger measurement of 1/24. And the reason being is because what's called Shalayah Heichaita Nisker. We don't want a sinner to gain. What, you made it tame deliberately because you wanted to give less challah? No. Now you're going to be giving the 1/24. Now, on that, Rabbi Eliezer says that he actually disagrees. He holds that when the person deliberately made it tame, you don't give 1/24 of that tame dough. Rather, he holds you have to go ahead and now knead a brand new dough. And then, challah nitelus min ha-tahira ala tameya. Then you're going to be taking the requisite shear of challah from the tahar dough for the tamei dough, which you have a requirement of challah, but we don't want you to have to. You deliberately made it tamei? No. We're not even letting getting away with giving 1/24 of the dough to the kohen, because what's he going to do with it? He can't eat it. He's going to have to burn it. We make you now need a new dough, and then you could go ahead and take challah from that fresh tar dough in the amount that you owe of this tamei dough. Now, however, there's one important problem, and that is this halacha that it is a mitzvah to take off truma, whether it be the halacha of truma or challah, which has similarities in halacha as truma, from what's called min ha-mukif, from that which is near and attached to what you're taking off from. So let's say taking challah, you have to have taking it from the dough itself, take, rip away challah and give it to the kohen. Now here the problem is that you're not doing that. You're not taking from the tamei dough challah. You're taking a whole different dough and taking off challah from that for the tamei dough. So therefore, continues Rabbi Eliezer, and he says, so how do you do this to take it off min ha-mukif and it maintain its purity? So he says, Ketzad, how do you do this? So and that explains as follows. He says, Shtei Isais. If what you do is you have these two doughs, Achas Tahar and Achas Tameh. Again, as we explained, one is Tahar and one is Tameh. Neitel Kedei Challah. You take the measurement that's necessary of Challah, which you had to take from the Tameh dough, Me'isa from the Tahar dough, and all the while you had not yet taken off the challah which is required for the tahar dough. The reason being is because if you had already taken off challah from the tahar dough that you just needed now, because you have to take off challah from it for itself, besides that you're taking it off for the tamei dough, had you already taken off for itself, then you wouldn't be able to anymore take off challah from it for the tamei dough, because then you'd be taking from what's called min ha-pater al-achiyah, from that which is exempted, because now this tahar dough doesn't have any obligations of challah because you already took it off, so it's already exempted. You can't take challah from it for that which is obligated, which is from the tamei dough, which you never yet took of challah yet, and therefore wouldn't be considered challah. So you have to take off challah from the tahar dough all the while you didn't yet take off its own challah for itself. Now, what you do is as follows. The noisen pachas mikibeya be'emtza. Now, you put less than the egg size of that tahar dough in the middle, between the tahar dough and the tamei dough, k'dei litel min ha-mukif, so that you could take from what's called min ha-mukif. Mukif comes from the words of connected and close by. Now, this halach, again, as we said, of Minamukav is learned from the Pasuk, as it's Darshan and Sefri, says, Vahari Moise Mimenu, that you have to take off Truma from it, meaning from that which is connected to it. Now, therefore, that's why what you have to do is you have to first surround the challah that you're separating from the Tara one next to the dough that's tummy. But you have to do that before you designate it as challah. And the reason being is because Rosh the challah, which has a higher level of tar, would become tummy actually from the tummy dough. So what you do is that you put the tummy dough on one side of the bowl. Then you take from the tar dough less than an egg size of dough, and you put them between the tar dough and the tummy dough. Now that middle piece of dough is touching both of them and connecting them. Now then you go ahead and you call out, you could do a kriya shem, you designate a piece of challah from the tar dough. And as you do that, you remove the doughs from each other as you call out the name of challah. Now, since it's less than a beya of dough that's connecting them, that middle dough is not going to be metami the challah. Now, the understanding is that even though dough less than a beya becomes tami, as we learn in the Brayis and Teres Koyinim, it says, apostle mikolo oichel asheya oichel. From any food that is eaten, we learn that it becomes tami whatever is eaten, as small as it is. Now, but the Teres Koyinim says, you would think that it would even transmit tuma to other things, no matter how small it is, tamaloy me'asheya oichel, that which is eaten, which the Gemara explains in the last paragraph of Sechel Yisumin of Peyamet Aleph, it means to say something that's eaten in one shot, and the Chachamim measured, and they said that the throat, which is where you swallow, cannot contain swallow at one time more than the size of an egg of a chicken, and therefore it's that measurement which we call asher yo'ichel. That's the amount that could transmit tuma. So therefore, that's his patent, which he says. So take less than the size. So although that middle piece of dough is going to become tummy, but it's not going to transmit tuma to the tar part, but they'll be connected. So you'll have an amukif, but the tar dough is not going to become tummy, and that's how you can be able to take challah from the tar dough for the tummy dough. But v'chacham eistrim, but the chacham say that's forbidden, as the Gemara is shortly going to explain the thrust of their machlekes. Now, v'tanya, actually, we learned in the Braisa, according to the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, that holds that you could even put in between the two doughs of the tar dough and the tummy dough the size of a kebeya, the size of an egg in between them, and even so, it's not going to make the challah from the tar dough tameh, as long as you didn't go ahead yet and call out the shame of challah, because once you did that, then it would become tameh, but up until then, it's not going to become tameh. So on that, what the Gemara concludes what it's trying to prove. So Savruha, the rabbis, those in the Beis Medrash that wanted to prove that Rabbi Eliezer is the fifth of these five tanum that we mentioned, that holds that a sheni does not make a shlisha by chulin, that they held edv-ed, both the Braisa, that both of them held, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that it's both that Braisa that says that Rabbi Eliezer holds you're even allowed to put a size of an egg of dough in between them, or whether the one that says it has to be less than an egg size. Both of them held that what we're discussing over here is Be'isa Rishayna, by a piece of dough that's Tameh in the level of a Rishayna Tumah. And still Rabbi Eliezer in the Braisa held that you could have the size of a dough of an egg in between them, even though that the middle piece of dough is going to become tummy because of the original tummy dough, which is a rishain, that's going to make the middle piece of dough into a sheni. Still, that middle piece of dough is not going to go ahead, even though it's the size of an egg, which could transmit tummy to other things, to the tar piece of dough, which is to make it into a shlishi, until you yet didn't go ahead and call it challah. Now, although that tar dough has what's called like challah that's buried in there somewhere, it's like tevel of challah, because you're going to go ahead and take out challah from there, but still everyone agrees, whether according to Rabbi Eliezer or according to the Rabbanan, that v'chulin ha'tvulin l'challah lo k'challah dami. If you have unconsecrated produce that has challah in there, meaning waiting to come out, it's like tevel, meaning you're going to end up taking challah from there, doesn't make a difference, even though somewhere from there you're going to take out challah, we look at the whole chulin dough as it's not challah. So it won't have the sanctity of truma in there somewhere. Although challah has that level of sanctity as truma, we don't view it as that. So therefore concludes the Gemara, my lab, isn't this what the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer are arguing about? And that is, Demar, that Rabbi Eliezer, who said that it's permitted to do this operation, I mean, the Chacham said, no, you can't do this. You can't put a piece of dough in between the tummy one and the tar one. Rabbi Eliezer said that it's permitted because Savar, because he held, Ein Sheni Oisa Shlisha Bechulin, a Sheni of tummy cannot make a Shlisha Bechulin. So very simple. The tummy dough is a Rishon. The dough in the middle is going to become a Sheni. And yes, although it's connected to the tar dough, but it can't go ahead and transmit tumma because it's only chulin because you didn't yet call out chala. When you say chala, at that moment you pull it away, so it's never going to become tummy. Yerumar, but the Rabbana who said that it's also to do this is because sav sheni oisa shlishi b'chulin. They hold that a sheni could make a shlishi by chulin, and therefore the chala is going to be tummy even before you call out the kriya shame of calling it chala, because although it's chulin, still they hold that a sheni can make a shlishi b'chulin. And therefore they hold that that's problematic because it's going to come out that you're going to be feeding the kohen really challah, that's tameh, with the assumption that it's tar because you're giving it, you're doing this operation with the tar dough and the tameh dough, and you're giving the appearance as if it's tar, and really it's tameh. Now, the Tana of the Mishnah that said according to Rabbi Eliezer that it has to be dough less than an egg explains Rashi is not because he disagrees with the Tana of the Braisa and Rabbi Eliezer that you could use even an egg. And it's not because he holds that a sheni can make a shlishi of chulin. It's for a different reason. It's because as much as you could diminish creating tumma for the middle piece of dough, you try diminishing that. And the reason being is because you're not allowed to make even chulin tummy for no reason. The only reason why we allow it over here is because we want to somehow rectify the truma, meaning the chal over here, and that's why it's permitted to do this. And since it's possible to do less than the size of an egg, therefore they don't allow to do the size of an egg as the braisa. Another approach, Rashi says, is because maybe the person's not going to be careful that the piece of challah that he separated should not touch that middle piece of dough after he already called it into challah. And then that's going to be a real problem because challah, which is truma-like, which is could become a shlishi, and therefore that would be a problem if it touched it. Therefore they held that it shouldn't be the size of an egg because then they can't transmit tumma to anything. Whereas the chacham that we quote that they say that it's forbidden is because they're concerned that maybe, even in the opinion that says it's less than the kebeah, because maybe you might do it the size of an egg, and then the middle one is going to become tummy, and maybe then it's going to go ahead and touch the challah piece, and therefore they say, we don't allow this whole procedure whatsoever. But anyway, that's what the Gemara is trying to prove, that Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion, the fifth opinion, and seemingly as a support, that that's what he's disputing with the Chachamim regarding if Sheini Oysa Shlishi Yichulun or not. And that the Gemara says, Amar Mori Bered Rav Kana, that no, actually, the Kuliyama, that everybody, even the Rabbanan, it's not just Rabbi Eliezer, holds Ein Sheni Oisa Shlishi B'chulin, that a Sheni cannot make a Chulin into a Shlishi. Now, so why do they disagree with Rabbi Eliezer? Seemingly, then they should agree that you should be allowed to do this procedure. It's because the Vahacha B'chulin HaTvulim L'chalakim Mevlegeh, they're disputing regarding this concept about if you have Chulin, but inside there is halachically buried a piece of Truma or Chala, because you're going to have to separate from this piece of Tevel, it's considered untithed until you take off the amount of challah, so that's where they argue. And that is, Mar Savar, the Rabbanu who say that it's us to do this is because they hold that the chulin that is considered tevel on some level for the challah that's inside of it is kechallah dummy. We view the whole chulin as if it has the halachic status of challah because in there is the challah, and that's why it's problematic to do what was proposed by Rabbi Eliezer, because it's going to become a shlishi by the dough that's in the middle. Whereas a marsav like a chalad, but Rabbi Eliezer held that no, you don't consider the chulin as if it's chal already. So therefore, all it is chulin, and everyone agrees that sheni doesn't make chulin into a shlishi. So you could do this procedure because the first tamei dough is a rishon, the middle dough is a sheni, and it doesn't make the third one, which is chulin, into a shlishi. Or v'ibayisema, or another approach is the kuli alma that actually everyone holds. That actually we don't view that dough as challah, and we view it as regular chulin. And ve'ein sheni oisa shlishi b'chulin. And everyone agrees that the sheni does not make a shlishi in chulin. So then the question is again, so then why would the chacham disagree? Seemingly then it should be totally permitted for this procedure. It's because of ahacha b'mutra ligrim tumma l'chulin sheb'eretz Yisrael k'mefugi. What they're disputing is regarding the permissibility of causing even chulin of Eretz Yisrael produce to become tameh. And that is Marsa of Rabbi Eliezer held, Muta ligrim tumma l'chulin sheb'eretz Yisrael. It's permitted to create chulin of Eretz Yisrael to become tame, which is this middle piece of dough. And the reason why you're allowed to make it tame, and that is everyone's agreeing, no matter how small it is, it becomes tame from a rishon, is because we want to be able to rectify, to be able to take tchala from tar dough. But Amar Savar, however, the reason that the Rabbanan that said that it's forbidden to do this is because, not as we had assumed up until now, because of the third piece of dough, meaning the tar piece of dough, rather because of the middle piece of dough that you're using as the instrument of the connector, is because it's going to become tummy because of the tummy piece of dough that it's connected to, which is a rishin. And they hold that also ligram tuma l'chulin shaber Eretz Yisrael. It's forbidden, it's prohibited to make chulin of Eretz Yisrael tummy, even though you're doing it because you want to rectify the truma, meaning that of challah. It doesn't make a difference. You don't have the rights to make even that small piece of dough, which is chulin, into that it should become tummy. Now Rashi points out that the Tana of the Mishnah and the Tana of the Braisa, which dispute regarding the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, this is actually contingent on what they argue on. The Tana of the Mishnah held that even though it's permitted to create tumah for that middle piece of dough, but as much as you could diminish the amount of tumah, we don't just cause carte blanche as much tumah as we want to. And since it's possible to do less, so therefore, we, even though it's only, again, now the measurement of kebay is no more regarding transmission, we're talking about that middle piece of dough, but since the shear of kebay is a chashav amount, it's considered a distinguished amount of dough, so therefore, the time of the Mishnah held, no, they do less than that, because they agree on some level to the principle of the Chachamim, that you're not allowed to just be goyim tumah in even chulin of Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the time of the Braisa held that no, since we allow you to create the middle piece of dough to become tameh as a way of rectification for the challah to be tar, so therefore they held, it doesn't make a difference if it's a large measurement or a small measurement, that even if it's the size of an egg, it's still permitted to cause it to become tameh. Or another approach, Rashi says, is that the time of the Mishnah held, then maybe the challah is going to be touching the middle piece after you already designated it as challah, and therefore that's a problem, and therefore at the time that the Mishnah held that it has to be less than an egg, whereas the time of the Braisa wasn't concerned with that, and therefore they said it could even be the size of an egg. But again, one thing is that we see these five tanoim hold of this halacha that ain't sheni oisus shishabachulin, a sheni cannot go ahead and make another chulin thing into a shlishi. Now the Mishnah continued again with another thing that Boi B'yem Dosh Rebbe Kiva, that on that day Rebbe Kiva expounded, which was the day that they appointed Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah as the Nasi, again as we said, because of the increase of scholarship on that day, which was a machlekes that he had with the other opinion of Rebbe Eliezer ben Yisrael Glili regarding two contradictory psukim by the city limits of the Levite of the Ari Halavim, which was one pasuk makes it sound like up to 1,000 amas, the other pasuk makes it sound like up to 2,000 amas. So there was a dispute, is one pasuk saying regarding the tchum, nothing to do with the city limits, just regarding tchum Shabbos. That's the opinion of Rebbe Kiva, that's the pasuk of 2,000 amas. And the 1,000 amas was talking about the city limits of the Levium. Or, like Rebbe Eliezer said, that it's regarding both the Talmud regarding the city limits of the Levium. The one of 1,000 was talking about the open space, and the 2,000 was talking about beyond that for the remaining 1,000, which is where they can make their fields and their vineyards. So the Gemara is b'maka miflegi. What is the crux of the machlekes Rebbe Kiva and Rebbe Eliezer ben Yisrael Yisrael Klili? So now the Gemara says Mar Sava, because Rebbe Kiva holds Chumin do Eraisa, the halacha of how far you're allowed to walk on Shabbos beyond your domain, whether it be your house, whether it be your city, is a biblical halacha. So therefore, he was able to expound the pasuk of the 2,000 amis beyond the city as halacha relating to Chum Shabbos because of biblical halacha. But Amar Sabbat Rabbanim Eliezer ben Yisrael Yisrael Glili held that it's only rabbinic halacha, so you can't say that that's what the pasuk means with the 2,000 amas limit, and therefore he had to expound it in a different way as a reference also to the city limits of the Levium, and that is because 1,000 is regarding to the open space Migrash Ha'arim, and the other remaining 1,000 is regarding other things, regarding the fields and the vineyards. Now relating to another thing mentioned in the Mishnah of Bei Bayoim, the Braisa expounds it in a slightly different way. Tarban when the Braisa, it was on that day that Rebbe Kiva expounded again that regarding this halacha that mentioned our Mishnah of the Shira by the Yamsuf, by the Az Yashir. So Rebbe Kiva expounded, he says, Bishasha Oli Yisrael min Yam, at the time when the Jewish people came out of when they came up from the Yamsuf, so Nasne Eineyum Leimer Shira. So it entered into their eyes to say the Shira, to sing songs to Hashem. Now, B'ketzad Amr Shira, how did they sing the song of Az Yashar? Says Rebbe Kiva, K'gadil ha-makri as a hal, like an adult that leads the hal for the congregation. Meaning that when he reads the whole hal, and he actually fulfills the obligation of the whole congregation by his reading. How so? V'hein oinin achar of Rashi Prakim, because the congregation, the Kehila, they don't say the halal itself. They just answer the title headings of the Prakim, which is Halaluka. The old say Halaluka, which is the beginning of the parasha. Meaning, whatever the chazan is saying, they answer Halaluka, and all they say is Halaluka. And this is, as we learn in the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, that says in the Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, which is going to be important also for the next opinion mentioned, that if, let's say, there was a servant or a woman or a minor that was reciting Halal for the adult congregation, so then they can't fulfill your obligation for you. So then they have to respond exactly the same words that the one who's leading saying. But if it was an adult that was being makri the Halal, then, again, they only have to say the Rashi Prakim. They could fulfill their obligation by listening to the chazan. So therefore, that's in the context of Halal. How is this in relative to the Az Yashar? So Moshe Omar Ashir Lashem. Moshe would say, let's say starting with the beginning of Az Yashar, Ashir Lashem, I shall sing out to Hashem. V'hein Aymrim again Ashir Lashem. They said the Rashi Prakim, the chapter heading, we shall sing out to Hashem. Moshe Omar Kigoygo, then Moshe continued with the Az Yashar. Says, because Hashem showed His might, V'hein Aymrim Ashir Lashem. And again, they just kept on saying, like we say Hallelujah in Talmudic times, for the Halal, so too, they would just say the same thing over and over again, Ashir Lashem, Ashir Lashem, every time he kept on going through the Az Yashar. That's Rabbi Kiwi's opinion. Rabbi Yezeb ben Ishar B'Yisak Liliam, he says, no, Kekotin HaMakris Halal. The way a minor recites Halal, as we just quoted from that Gemara in Masechta Sukkah, where V'hein Aynin Acher of Kol Mashu Aymer, where they respond exactly the same words that the minor says, because the minor cannot fulfill their obligation for them. So he could lead them, but they have to repeat the same words. So that's the same thing that happened by the Az Yashar. Moshe Amar Shir Lashem, V'hein Amar Shir Lashem. Moshe Amar Kigoygo, V'hein Amar Kigoygo. They would repeat everything Moshe Rabbeinu said, just like how a minor leads the Halal. That's how they did by the Az Yashar. Finally, a third opinion, Nechemiah, he says, Kisayfer, like a school teacher, like a teacher of little children, who generally he's the one that's always in the Beis HaKnesses, in the Shul, and the reason being is, in Talmudic times, that's where the little children would learn. So, like a sefer, like a school teacher, ha-pairis al-shema beveis ha-knesses, who, the word pairis, as Rashi translated in this context, is like we find preis achag, which is what's before the yomtiv, meaning what's before, what comes before the shema, and that is what he leads for the 10 people that are there in the minyan. How does that work? Shu peiseach tchila vehein oin acharav, where he opens first, he leads, he starts, and they respond afterwards, which as his brother Gemara Masechta Shkalim, that he starts the brachas before the Kriya Shema, and they respond after him, and then they all recite it together. That's exactly how the divine presence, as the Ruach HaKodesh, rested upon all the Jewish people, and together they said the Shira as it's written. So the Gemara is Mamakim Mifkei, regarding what are they arguing? So, in regards to how do we see this disagreement in the pasuk itself? So, Rabbi Kiva Sav, Rabbi Kiva held, it says there in the pasuk in Shmais Hezvav Pasuk Av, it says, Az Yashar Moshe, that then Moshe Rabbeinu sang, Ubenei Yisrael, together with the Jewish people, as the Shira Azoyis Hashem, the following song to Hashem, the Yemru, and they said, Leimur, to say, which sounds like that if someone said something to tell other people, and then only then did they say, Ashir Hashem, I shall sing at Hashem, and so on. So on that Rabbi Kiva holds, Amilsa Kamaisa. What's the lamer going on? What did they say to say? It was going on the first thing that which is mentioned, the Yemru Lamer Ashir Lashem, meaning to say that they always repeated the lamer was always on Ashir Lashem. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, the Jewish people said Ashir Lashem. Which again is as how an adult leads the Hal. Rabbi Yezeb and Noshe Bisek Lili Savar. No, the lamer was a kol milsa milsa. When it says to say, yes, he would say Moshe Rabbeinu, and then they would say lamer, which was repeating what he had said, which is what the word lamer means, to say. You say it so that someone else should say, but that would be going whatever he said. So that's why it's like a katna makrazal. But Rabbi Nechemiah Savar, he held that it says in the pasuk vayomru, that they said. In other words, that's going on Moshe and Ubnei Yisrael. So it sounds like the Amar kulu bahade adadi, that they all said together, vayomru, they said. Now, when it says lamer, to say, as if it sounds like, but they didn't all say it together. It sounds like Moshe Rabbeinu said, and they to say to them, and then they say, that only means the Pasach Moshe Bereisha. That means that Moshe Rabbeinu was the first one to open. In other words, yes, Vayomru says that they all said, But as the Pasuk says, "Vayomru lemer," meaning they all said only after it was permitted for them to say, meaning after the wise, the Chacham, the leader, Moshe Beinu, first started, then they were able to say. So that's similar to like how the Sefer, how the one who's the Chazan, how he starts the brachas before the people in the shul, but then they all say together. That's exactly what happened according to the opinion of Reb Nechemya in regarding to the Az Yashir, where yes, they all said it, but Moshe Beinu just started and then they all joined it together. Tarban Win the Braisa, Darsha Biyasa Glili, says related Bishasha Ol Yisrael Min Hayam, at the time when the Jewish people came out of the sea, Nosnoi Neim Lo Mishira, they placed their eyes with the desire to say Shira. Now, Vaketzel Amashir, so how did they say the Shira? So he says that Oilil Mutil Al Birka Ima, you had a young child, that an infant that was on the mother's knee. And you had Vitinik Yenik Mishtei Ima, you had a suckling baby nursing from its mother's breast. Now, Kivin Sharos HaShchina, once these little babies saw the Divine Presence, that's what they all saw there by the Kriyas Yom Tov. So, Oilu Higbiya Tzavar, so the young child, the infant, picked up his neck, and Vitinik Shama Dod Mipiv, and the baby removed its mouth from its mother's breast. V'amr, and they said, Zekhele Bambeya, this is my God, and we shall glorify him. Like it says the Pasuk in Tehillim, Mipi Eilalim V'yankim Yisada Ta'ais. From the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you established might. And as Rashi says, that's how Pesukim say it. In other words, meaning from the most Chashiv, which the Eilalim are older than the Yankim, all the way until the bottom, meaning everyone came and established your glory, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even the little babies were saying Ezekiel Vanveil. Moreover, how Yermeyer would say, Minayin Shafila Ubarin Shabime, even Amr Shir, how do we know that even the fetuses in the mother's womb were saying Shir by the Yamsaf? Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk and Tehillim, as we continue, top of Alpha and Aleph, Bimakhelois, in the gathering, meaning when the Jewish people were gathered by the Yamsuf, by the sea, Baruchu Elekim Hashem, they blessed Hashem the God. Mimikar Yisrael, from the source of the Jewish people, meaning even those, as it's brought in rabbinic terminology, the woman's womb is called the Makar, even from the Makar, even from the womb, the babies were singing Az Yashir. Now, in parentheses, brought the question, but Baholi Chazu, but they didn't see. How can they point and say Zekil Vanveyu if they're in the womb and they're blocked by the mother's stomach? How could they say the Shira? So Amar Tanchum, he says, Keres Nasalahen Kaspaklarya Hama'ira Viro. The mother's stomach was made as if it was clear glass, and they were able to see through the mother's stomach, and that's why even the fetus in the mother's womb were able to sing the Shira and say, Zekeli Leanveyu.